Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you in the saddle again. And on the other side of the glass, my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our show. It's Thursday, April 28th, 2022. And Tom, it looks like after we get this wind, you know how I hate these windy, dusty days, the weekend looks pretty darn good.
Looks pretty nice.
80s,
and I don't think we're going to see 100-degree temperatures any time soon, at least in the next week or so.
That's what was so crazy about that weird anomaly where we hit 100 degrees for 2 minutes the other day. At 12:55, we hit 100 for like 2 minutes,
then it went down to 96. We're going to hit the high mark a mid-afternoon, like around 3 o'clock or so.
I know. Very weird. It's Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio in our 12th year now with the radio project, our 34th year here on radio and TV in Tucson. Our radio station is KVOI, 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We live stream the program. You have a couple of choices there. You can listen to it at buckmastershow.com or KVOI.com. Also, we have all of our podcasts and a pretty darn extensive archive. Pretty much every show we've done since January of 2011 at buckmastershow.com. All right, let's get right into our newsmaker interview. And by the way, I do want to say that all of our phone interviews, our live line, which we will not be using the live line today, but when we do, that is courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. City of Tucson, the mayor and council approved the city manager's appointment of Sam Credio to serve as the new director of the Department of Transportation and Mobility earlier this month. The council making that decision for Sam. And Sam was chosen after there was a national search, but City of Tucson realized that the best man is right here in Tucson. And we've got him with us in studio today. Sam, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, congratulations. You joined the city back in 2012 as an engineering project manager with the then-named Department of Transportation. And now, under 40 years old, here you are heading up transportation and mobility. And not only heading it up, Sam, but at a very crucial time with what's coming on and what the voters are currently voting on about road improvements. But first of all, congratulations. You must feel pretty good about where your career is at right now.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bill. I am extremely blessed to be in this position. I'm so thankful of the confidence of the mayor and council and the city manager in me to lead such a great department such as the Transportation and Mobility Department and really serve my community in this role.
You've got some top priorities, and let's kind of get right into them. What's at the top of the agenda right now? What's the immediate challenge?
So we have several. I mean, there's really not one top. There's a few that I can talk about. Obviously, safety in our roadways is really important. That was something that I looked at as I was preparing for this position and realizing that we absolutely have to find ways to reduce the amount of traffic-related fatalities on our streets. And we're working really hard. We're working with our partners at the Tucson Police Department.
Yeah, we had Chief Kasmer here on Friday, and he was saying, you know, he spent time, Sam, as you know, as a motorcycle cop in his like 20 some years with the department. And he says that is a top priority. I actually saw last Friday, and I mentioned this on the air to the chief, I actually saw two motorcycle cops with radar guns that I had not seen for about 2 years here in the city. So the safety issue has got to be paramount.
Absolutely, and we are going to work closely with with the police department on ways we can collaborate and really try to increase the awareness on how we can keep our streets safe.
The pedestrian thing, are there some things that can be, are you considering some pedestrian changes in the way traffic moves around pedestrian crossings?
Yes, so we have a few things in the works. We've actually developed a 5-year traffic safety plan. We have a pedestrian safety action plan that we've developed. And then it's important to point out that in Proposition 411, there's actually a safety component 20% of those funds are going to go towards traffic safety. So we're doing a few things there. The other thing to point out is actually next Tuesday at Mayor and Council, we're going to be talking about becoming a Vision Zero community and what that might look like. And what that is prioritizing the elimination of traffic-related fatalities in our right-of-way. And that includes a partnership with Tucson Police Department.
Vision Zero? Is that a program unique to Tucson, or has it been in other cities?
It's actually a nationwide program called the Vision Zero Network, mm-hmm. and several cities throughout the country are Vision Zero communities, and so we're going to provide an opportunity for mayor and council to discuss what that might look like for the city of Tucson.
The program Proposition 101 will be sunsetting, ending. It was a five-year program ending in June. It was commonly referred to as Tucson Delivers Better Streets program. Was that a successful program?
Absolutely, Bill. That was and is a successful program. And as we are approaching the end of that, you know, one of my priorities is we want to finish strong on Proposition 101 and deliver, as promised, the projects that are included in that program. You know, to date, we've completed almost 200 lane miles of major roadways. And we've done about 154 lane miles of local roadways. So we've made significant progress, and I expect that we're going to finish strong.
Well, people see, you know, those major roadways are important, but people in their own neighborhood, they have problems. I mean, some of these side streets are in horrible condition. And that's, I guess, one of the things that Prop 411, which voters are now voting on right now for the upcoming special election, that's one of the things that are going to be addressed, correct?
That's correct. And included in Prop 101, Tucson Delivers Better Streets, there's about 23 neighborhoods that are going to see improvements. But if Prop 411 is successful, we're actually going to be able to, over the 10-year program, resurface every neighborhood street in the city. And it is a historic investment in our neighborhood streets that we've never seen before. So if the voters have the confidence in the city to complete that program, we're going to be ready to jump after it as soon as it passes.
You mentioned safety. You mentioned the side streets, the neighborhood streets. What else is in that proposition? Give us kind of an overview.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So it's approximately $740 million over 10 years. 80% of that is going to be towards the city-owned neighborhood streets in the city. And then about 20% of that revenue, like I mentioned, which equates to about $150 million, is for safe street projects. And what that includes is sidewalk improvements, ADA accessible ramps, signalized ped crossings, bike facility improvements, street lighting, traffic calming, just a lot of different ways that we can help improve the safety of our streets.
So this program, if approved, would follow, and it's a 10-year program, right?
It is a 10-year program.
So this would follow, as we mentioned, Prop 101, which was a five-year program, and then there was another bond issue before that for 5 years. So this is really a continuity or continuation of what started a few years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out, Bill. It's important for voters to know that it's actually a continuation of the existing sales tax for Prop 101 that is scheduled to sunset in June of this year. If Prop 411 is successful, it will extend that sales tax for 10 years.
Let's talk a little bit about what people hate, and I know I hate it because it means I've often have to get my car aligned. That's potholes. It's just, you know, it's not just a city problem. It's really an area-wide program. What can be done about this? Are you on top of that issue?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. You know, it's funny that as soon as I was selected to this position, my friends and family were quick to call me about the pothole that they hit.
There's a pothole I just hit. Please, Sam, get a team out there to fix it. I can't handle this yet.
So, you know, we have a really hardworking, dedicated crew of street maintenance staff that actually 3 to 6 crews every day are out filling potholes. Last year, we filled over 90,000 potholes, which equates to about 368 per day. It's important to point out, though, that'd be a lot higher if we didn't have some of those other programs that we're working on. And so with the passage of 411 next month, if it's successful, you know, we would hope to see those numbers drop. But, you know, if you do see a pothole, we do have a way for you to report that. You can either call the phone number 520-791-3154, or you can send an email to t.concerns@tucsonaz.gov. And once you report a pothole, our staff can go out there and get that filled. You know, we have a lot of area to cover, and so we really need the help of the public to be our eyes and ears out there and let us know when you see a problem so we can go take care of it.
Is the technology any better for filling potholes? Is it getting better, or is it just pretty much the old tried and true throw that black stuff, which I don't really know what it is, but throw that on the pothole?
You know,
I assume it's some kind of ready mix asphalt.
It's not like you would see at Home Depot where you go grab some cold mix and throw it down. It is hot oil and chip that we put down. And in fact, I was just speaking with our street staff. I hope to get out there and fill some potholes myself here pretty soon.
So, really?
Yeah, I want to get out and meet with the staff and really show them my appreciation for the work they do. They have a very difficult job come summertime.
And Sam, before we take the break and talk about my favorite bakery in town, which is Mona's Danish Bakery, chip seal, and I think they call it chip seal / fog seal, is that still being used?
Absolutely. So we have a menu of options we can use on
I know a lot of motorists hate when they even see it or hear the word chip seal because they're worried it's going to damage their vehicle or the windshield or whatever.
Yeah, sure. So when you see a fog seal, that just means that we're going to go in, seal the cracks, and then put a layer of oil down. Okay. Both of those treatments are the plan is so they can extend the life of the asphalt. And so not only do we want to fix the poor and failing condition asphalt, but we also want to keep the good streets good. And part of that is a maintenance program such as fog seals and chip seals.
All right, Sam Credio is with us. He's the new City of Tucson Transportation and Mobility Director. Sam, right now I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. Do you like bakery goods, Sam?
I love baked goods.
Well, we would like to send you up in the right direction. It's not in the city. It is in the county. It's up at northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's Mona's Danish Bakery. They're open right now for lunch. They open, the doors open at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast Tuesday through Sunday. Steve, the owner, when he opens the doors, there's usually people, Sam, that are waiting in line. So find out what the excitement is about. And once you go to Mona's, your big decision, Sam, would be, what do I want from the beautiful bakery case? Do I want a Danish Kringle? Do I want a croissant? What could you go for right now? A chocolate croissant? What would go?
Oh, I think what would go great would be an almond croissant and
there
a cup
you go.
Of coffee.
Almond croissant and coffee, they can easily handle that. Their coffee is wonderful, and I love the almond croissants as well. I also love the bear claws, which have that kind of that almond paste as well. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bonvoyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview will be with Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher. Joining me in the questioning tomorrow, Dan Scheer, the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. That will be our Friday Focus interview tomorrow at 12:04. But right now, we continue with our conversation with the new City of Tucson Transportation and Mobility Director. Sam Credio is with me in studio. And Sam, we were touching on some of the propositions, the Proposition 101. People usually get all these numbers mixed up. I know I do. I'm glad I've got a few notes here. Proposition 101, which is sunsetting a five-year program in June. And then, of course, voters are voting right now on that mail-in election. Election day is May 17th on Proposition 411. But what about, is there a road connection with Prop 407? Wasn't that mainly to do with parks?
Yeah, great question, Bill. So in November 2018, city voters approved Proposition 407, which actually had two components to it. It was the parks parks piece, and then the connections piece. And the connections piece is where the Transportation and Mobility Department comes in. And we've got some actually really exciting projects that we're working on to improve the public's connection to parks. And that's the component that our department's involved in.
Can you elaborate?
Sure.
Some
of the projects we're working on right now are the Michigan Fair Bicycle Boulevard, the Third Treat Bicycle Boulevard. We have the El Paso Southwestern Greenway Extension. And then we also have some additional bike boulevards on 18th Street, 8th Avenue, South Campbell. And really, you know, you can actually, everybody can go take a look at these projects on the website TucsonDelivers.TucsonAZ.gov. And so really it's about providing these safe connections for especially bicycle and pedestrians.
So it used to be just the Department of Transportation, but you added mobility. Is that kind of include, say, bicyclists? I mean, everybody is part of the mobility, right?
Absolutely. You know, if you think about it, Bill, at some point or another, we all are a pedestrian.
We're all mobile.
We're all mobile, exactly. So back in...
Hopefully.
Back in January of 2020, Mayor and Council made the decision to add the name mobility to the Transportation Department's name. And really what that does is better reflects all of the things that we work on. You know, just in our short time here, we've talked about roads, we've talked about sidewalks, bicycle boulevards. And so... really, mobility encompasses all the great things we're doing in the community, not just about filling potholes.
Now let's talk about another area that is in your portfolio, and that's transit. We do have now, I understand, a handful of electric-powered buses, and we would like to have more. Is that correct?
That's correct, Bill. So one of the unique things about Tucson in terms of a transportation department is we actually have a transit component as well. And we have 5 electric buses that are currently in operation, and we have 5 more that are on order. And we expect to go after another 10 with a grant coming up. So we are looking at ways to diversify our fleet and really make that transition off of diesel and onto electric. And these battery electric powered buses are really something to be seen. They're so quiet. So if you see them down the roadway, you should definitely check them out.
And they don't pollute.
They're clean energy.
That's correct.
Yeah. They do not pollute. No.
Yeah. So just how many buses do we have? I mean, you know, you brought up something I hadn't thought about, that we in the city of Tucson, we have a transit department, and that is something that most cities, big cities, have like a kind of a transit authority. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, that's one of the unique things about Tucson. In fact, throughout my career, I spent a little bit of time as our transit administrator. And so our bus fleet is a little over 200 buses. I don't know the number right mm-hmm. offhand. For a long time, we were diesel. And so we converted from diesel over to compressed natural gas. And now we're making that conversion over to electric.
Mm-hmm. So we have free, still there are no fares to take a ride on
That's
the bus.
That's correct. So, we have a fare-free system right now that has been in place since the beginning of the pandemic.
Will you be looking at ways to bring some revenue in?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bill. So right now, the fares are free until June 30th of this year, and we're currently in conversations with mayor and council on what the future of that looks like. There's certainly federal opportunities that are available. We're going to definitely make sure we provide mayor and council with the best information possible so we can make an informed decision moving down the road.
So is light rail in your portfolio, or is that part of the RTA?
No, that's actually in our portfolio as well. The city of Tucson actually doesn't have light rail. We have a streetcar. It's a nuance. So we have a fixed route, which is SunTran. We have a paratransit service, which is SunVan, and we have a streetcar, which is SunLink. And again, that's pretty unique to have all 3 modes in one city.
We didn't talk yet about some of these high-profile capital projects, Sam. Could you kind of articulate on that?
Absolutely, Bill. So a couple that are in the works right now, we have Downtown Links, which is the downtown project that most people see going on, and that is in construction right now. A fun fact is I was actually the project manager for that project when I joined the city, and so now things have kind of come full circle, and mm-hmm. I'm excited to be at the helm when we complete that project. We're scheduled to complete that next summer, and we're on mm-hmm. track right now. What that's going to do is actually create a new underpass underneath the railroad at 6th Street, as well as some new roadways along the railroad and some new bicycle and pedestrian connections. And then the other high-profile project we have going on is Broadway from Euclid to Country Club, and that's expected to be completed later this summer.
We should talk a little bit about the Regional Transportation Authority, Sam, and the program. The 20-year program will be has about 4 more years of life with the original 20-year program that voters approved. If indeed, Prop 411 passes on May 17th. Can that complement what the RTA is currently calling RTA Next?
Yeah, great question, Bill. So as we mentioned before, Proposition 411 is really going to address the needs in our neighborhood streets. And what you would likely see in RTA Next is the attention turned to our major roadways. And just like those high-profile projects I mentioned, you know, are really addressing needs on major arterials within the city. But it's important to keep in mind that I think the needs of the community in Tucson back in 2006 versus the needs now are very different. And so as we are developing that next program with our regional partners, we really want to make sure that we see the needs of the community reflected in the projects that we move forward in RTA Next.
Now, what about transportation with the stoplights? Is that in the portfolio?
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, we
and
should
you
probably...
know where I'm going.
I know where you're going.
Known as
yep.
Michigan Turn, the Michigan Turn Lane. Yeah, left turn, Michigan left turn.
So a lot of folks...
Which I don't still really understand.
Yeah, a lot of folks complain about...
I saved the best for last.
You sure did. A lot of folks complain about the traffic. Yes. You know, I like to call them go lights, not stop lights.
Go lights.
They're go lights. So, okay. But yeah, you know, again, part of the work we're doing as a transportation department is how can we make our system as efficient as possible? We're already doing a lot of work to rewire those traffic signals, bring in updated equipment. There is a component of 411 that's going to allow us to do some traffic signal improvements as well. And it's really about moving folks as efficiently as possible through the city. We don't have a crosstown freeway, and so we're going to do the best we can to just make sure that we can accommodate the needs of the community.
But the goal of this Michigan left turn was to move traffic more efficiently?
It is, yeah. So the Michigan left turn, what it does, the most inefficient movement at a traffic signal is the left turns. And so by moving that out of the intersection and on either side of it, allows the traffic to move more efficiently. And so that's what a Michigan left does for you.
You know, you mentioned the word freeways, and of course, I think we're the largest city in the United States that probably does not have a freeway. I mean, we have an interstate that runs through, which it's not, though, a city kind of freeway. So we've kind of gone different ways, haven't we, with hybrids and kind of parkways, and it's kind of a unique situation, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. And you know, it's I've traveled to Chicago before, and
my
hometown. I've sat in some horrendous traffic, and then I come back to Tucson and puts things in perspective. But you know, at the end of the day, it's about making our system as efficient as possible and as safe as possible. And the other thing about the Michigan lefts is left turns are where you tend to see more collisions at intersections.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
You move those out of the intersection, and it makes for a safer movement.
Good luck to you, Sam Credio. We'll have you back after you've been the director for a while, because right now you're about 3 weeks into the job.
I'd love to come back, Bill. It's been a great time.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to break right here. Buckmaster Midway Point in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. We'll take a break right here. CBS Network News, and then we'll hear from the great people that support the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zilcalo Village Studios. This is a perfect time of year to go buy Green Things. 13-acre site at 3384 East River Road. They have everything you need for your spring gardening. They're right there by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Jan and Jack, the owners, have their site looking so beautiful. They got it beautifully manicured and everything you could imagine for the garden. And they also have the greatest sales staff who can answer just about any gardening question. And while you're there, visit Zilcalo Village. Great merchandise. Much of it's handcrafted. Jan does those buying trips down to Mexico and comes back with all sorts of goodies. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Green Things in their 51st year of business, and they are open daily. Dr. Robert Hendricks is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, and he is Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District and a one-time Arizona School Superintendent of the Year. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well. Boy, little allergy issues,
oh, yeah,
but
I know we had
through it.
We had Dr. Hines on the show yesterday, Pima County Supervisor, and he was saying how bad the allergy season is. I mean, just take a look at all the yellow stuff flying around.
Exactly.
I mean,
and
everybody's
flying around.
Everybody's dealing with it. There are a couple of bills that I want to talk about that are now sitting on Governor Ducey's desk. One of them would really. Well, why don't you describe it? I mean, what would happen? Teachers would basically have to become like reporting every movement of a kid at the school. I mean, it's not exactly that bad, but it really gets kind of weird.
I would put this whole category under mistrust.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's definitely an issue that our legislature seems to have with what teachers are doing and what kind of activities are taking place in the classroom. And so one of the bills that's on the governor's desk would require schools to provide parents with a list of all the books, materials borrowed from the school library.
Whoa.
This would be some kind of report. I don't know how the logistics would work on this, but the intention is that a parent would get an individualized report that this child has checked out these books and is using these materials from the school library. In addition to that, there would be a requirement that schools, when they purchase new books, that there be some mechanism to post online what those new books are within 60 days of when they were purchased. Now, this is very unrealistic to expect, and one wonders what the ulterior motives are for this, but there's some interesting caveats that it's the exceptions that really kind of get my attention. One is that if the school does not have a full-time librarian,
mm-hmm.
that requirement does not apply.
Huh.
Ironically, Bill, you know, because of budget cuts over the years,
yeah.
many schools, particularly elementary schools, have eliminated the librarian position. They may have an assistant, but there's no full-time librarian. And so this would be an exclusion probably for, I would say, most elementary schools in the state, unless they're very, very well-funded districts that still have that kind of a person. The other exclusion is public libraries. So if a child's checking out books or materials, public library, there's not going to be any surveillance on that at all. Mm. We're really looking at public schools. And so my best guess is going to be we're looking at middle schools and high schools on the most part. And what parents think they're going to discover, I'm not really sure. I don't know that this has been a widespread problem in the state. But, you know, for some people who are really cynical, you'd say this is really censorship mm-hmm. in some ways. There are books sometimes that parents might object to. They could certainly voice that objection. But this is kind of a screening technique that I'm pretty confident. My guess is the governor is going to sign this. And so districts are going to be put in a position to have to enforce this.
Now, the other big one, it's is about parents suing teachers. Do you have any feeling on whether the governor is going to go with this one?
Well, the language as I read it is so broad and so unclear that we're not really sure what door that opens. I mean, parents obviously can always sue anyone they want.
Of course.
But the question would be, you know, what teeth is in that? One of the areas I think of contention is, and I've heard this over and over again, particularly in social media and on conservative media, and that is the idea of teachers trying to extract information from students, usually by way of survey.
Mm-hmm.
And so these surveys or questionnaires sometimes have questionable issues that are raised that might have bias, racial bias, or of course the popular one is to talk about CRT.
Critical race theory.
Yes, or anything that would be involve gender.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a feeling that if these questionnaires are screened ahead of time, that a parent could object and exclude their student from participating. And so this particular part of the bill says that copies of the survey would have to be submitted to parents in advance, that the parents would have to give signed approval before the survey could be given. So a survey still could be given, you know, with the absence of those students participating. But again, it's an idea of parent participation, all under the idea of parents' rights versus teachers' rights.
So the legislation says once a lawsuit is filed, the burden is then on the public employee to prove both that the action is essential to accomplish a compelling government interest of the highest order, whatever that means, put that in quote, and that the action is narrowly tailored and is not otherwise served by a less restrictive means.
Bill, I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
It's gobbledygook to me.
It is.
I don't know what that's really saying. And how can a teacher who's entering the classroom every day try and do the best they can, the majority of them not coming with any kind of hidden agenda, how restrictive must they be in terms of what they say or what they teach? If you're a history teacher mm-hmm. and you're going to present two sides of a particular issue, try to do it in a way that there's a pro and con, that it's fully vetted in both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You could, in fact, be entering into this issue.
Mm-hmm.
The parent could say, well, there's really only one side of this,
mm-hmm.
and you shouldn't be talking about the other side. Or if a parent believes again, this is going to be secondhand through their child,
mm-hmm.
that the particular attitude of the parent is bended towards a particular side.
Oh, boy.
That could be a basis of a suit, too.
Well, I don't really know. If a teacher looking at this or a young teacher deciding where to perhaps work and saw something like this, it would give, I would think, a lot of teachers, young teachers, second thoughts.
It's very discouraging. And I know from a perspective of an English teacher
mm-hmm.
who expects students to write essays or opinion papers, there's a question about what happens if a student writes an opinion
mm-hmm.
and the student is reacting to it. The teacher and the student in concert could be placed in a situation of jeopardy, mm-hmm. but ultimately it's the adult that could get sued.
Oh, boy.
I think this is so ambiguous that this would be a real interesting test
mm-hmm.
if it ever went to a legal dispute. I don't think the teacher obviously is going to be in some degree of harm's way, but I don't think it's going to be winnable.
All right, let's pause right here. More with Dr. Robert Hendricks. Lots to talk about in the education area right now. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by our friends in Silver City. What a nice day over in Silver City, New Mexico, 73 at the midday point. A great day to get out and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, just kicking back and enjoying a very different environment. That elevation from 5,000 to 7,000 feet keeps things relatively cool. So it's a great time of year to visit Silver City, only about a 3-hour drive east of Tucson. You can find out more, and I hope you will visit their website, which is easy to remember. Just think of southwestnewmexico.org, O-R-G, for where to stay and what to do. Dr. Robert Hendricks, our contributor on education, with us as we talk about so many issues going on in education. One of them has to do with the legislation proposing to further deregulate teacher certification requirements. This was initially the door opened to this, Bob, a couple of years ago, and there wasn't really a stampede of people that were in private industry that suddenly wanted to teach.
No, stampede. I think somehow it was under the illusion
hardly anybody
that you know, if we open the doors completely, there's just going to be a stampede of people.
It's not happening.
Coming into the classroom. I mean, there's no question that teacher shortages are critical, and this is not unique to Arizona. This is a national issue. In fact, I had to think a couple weeks ago, there was a quarter of a page ad in the Arizona Daily Star advertising for teachers coming to New Mexico.
Really?
And I've seen that on more than one occasion where there's an out-of-state district. Mm-hmm. There's advertising in our state, in our city, offering housing benefits.
Wow.
Really high benefits.
Great entry-level pay?
Higher level of pay.
Okay.
And so you have to be thinking about that. I mean, I think it's an indicator that certain areas are being targeted because these districts feel they can snatch, you know, bodies from our workforce here, you know, into their environment. But it's definitely a problem, and I think legislators, and I don't blame them. I mean, we need to try to find ways to bring more people into the profession, but I don't think the way is to skirt certification and bypass our current training requirements. Now, there are programs nationally and in the state that have provided alternative pathways to getting certified. For example, a Teach for America program is very, very popular, and it takes people with a college degree or in the process of getting a college degree and brings them through a fast track of usually about 1.5 to 2 years as opposed to 4 years to get them certified into the classroom. The U of A has a program called Teach Arizona that does essentially the same thing for people who already have a degree, and they can get a master's degree in 1 year and get the training as well. Hmm. So this, I think, is the approach that we want to take, because to think that anybody can enter the classroom, anybody, and teach, there's a skill set here. And I think it's demeaning to suggest that anybody can be a teacher, that anybody should be a teacher. And to do that without training or some kind of minimal training, which, by the way, the bill does not describe, is a travesty. I it just doesn't make sense to me.
How many teachers are on the sidelines in Arizona right now that have gotten out of the profession?
What I've heard from the Department of Education statistics, there's about 180,000 certified teachers in the state that are sitting on the sidelines.
Wow.
Now, we don't know why, Bill. I mean, many of them have chosen maybe just to stay at home. But I also believe that low salaries, I also believe that large class sizes and other working conditions, plus all the other stuff that's happening, you know, in the education environment, are suggesting these folks, maybe I'll stay at home, or maybe I'll use my skills and do something else. So we don't have the data to suggest why these people are not in the classroom, but were they to enter the classroom, we would not have the staffing deficits that we have today.
One thing we have not talked about in recent months, the pandemic took its toll on the kids, the student learning loss. How are the districts trying to make that up right now?
Well, I think most districts have enough federal money mm-hmm. that they can run some kind of comprehensive summer school program. And Lisa Graham Keegan.
That's a voluntary program.
That's Lisa, a voluntary yeah, program. Okay. And
we have Lisa. You mentioned Lisa Graham Keegan, former school superintendent. We had her on a week or so ago talking about this summer program.
Correct. And that's going to be a fully funded program,
fully
too.
Fully funded, again, right. Yep.
Fully voluntary on the part of students participate. It's much, much more than daycare. I applaud that. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a subject focus. It's also going to have social activities and creative activities that are going to be part of the curriculum. This is the kind of thing we need to do. It's not going to catch us up completely, but to simply say we're behind and let's just start another school year is not enough. I'd like to think that parents recognize that there is a learning deficit and that they'll put other things on hold to give their students an opportunity to participate in one of these programs. Again, there's no cost. I think you're going to find them represented almost in every district in Pima County is going to have something. So it's not going to be transportation issue. I know that there's going to be a meal plan that's included. If the parent just wants it for daycare, mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. But I hope they want it for more than that mm-hmm. because I think it's going to be a great experience for students. And I hope they participate. And it's and for the state program, it's K through 12. So there's opportunities across the board for students to participate in something.
You know, going back to the teacher shortage, it's your profession that you've given your life to. It just doesn't seem like it's an attractive profession right now.
I'm kind of giving you
the bottom line of the way I feel, but it just doesn't feel like if you were a young person that this would be something that you'd really get your motivated to go do.
I understand. Yeah. I also understand that what some districts have done,
yeah.
not so much here in Arizona, although it is touched some places, they're doing pretty much what the medical profession is doing,
mm-hmm.
and that is they are importing people, residents from other countries
mm-hmm.
to come in and fill the gap.
Mm.
And so what we're seeing, particularly in the large urban school districts across the country,
mm-hmm.
are foreign nationals
mm-hmm.
who are coming in on a work visa.
Uh-huh.
They're educated.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming in and teaching in our American classrooms
mm.
to fill the gap that exists because we can't provide those personnel in our own state.
All right. Dr. Robert Hendricks, always a pleasure to have you on the program. And
never enough time, Bill.
There's never enough time. And certainly the education profession is got some real challenges
to
say the least. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. We've got Dave Ramsey. His very popular show on money is coming right up on KVOI on behalf of Dr. Hendricks and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Bill Buckmaster inviting you to join us tomorrow in about 23 hours. We'll have Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher with me, along with our friend Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News. He'll be joining me in the conversation with Ms. Lesher. Hope you have a great afternoon.